¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 2.5 hours, where Heel joins us at 9, right here on ESPN 97.5. I'm sitting next to a television star here.
All night long last night at the game, Dell.
Lance is on TV with his gaggle of children.
That's true. I was lucky enough to sit close to the court. You've been there many a time, really close. And it's the game is different when you're really, really close.
Oh, yeah.
But the game, I had a chance to see it in the most unique way that I ever will see it, which is right behind the opposing bench when Greg Popovich is coaching.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm listening to Danny Green. My kids, ooh, Danny Green, geez, the F word a lot. Well, and at one time, I think when my kids started cheering a little too loud for the Rockets and like, an MVP, he got up and he started digging in his ass. Danny Green did, like something was itching. I think that was just like a subtle, like, I 100% believe he was adding my kids with that ass dig, if I'm being honest with
them. Okay.
Like, that's pretty salty right there, Danny.
Yeah. Well, and probably here. Hey, kids, come over and smell my finger
now. Hey, come take some of this.
Yeah.
But my favorite was Kyle Anderson got pulled out of the game. He did something bad. Like, his body language was terrible. He was just moping around.
Well, first of all, Kyle Anderson was even in the game.
Okay? I know. It was disappointing.
You could have taken your kids and sat behind a bench of a real game.
I know. Well, I got to watch all of Manu and listen to Manu talk. And so you can hear the conversations. And it's not that, you know, they couldn't believe the fouls James was getting called. And it was like stuff you would expect.
Yeah.
But at one point, this is what I'll take away. Kyle Anderson comes out. He does, he was guarding James. And I think it's Kyle Anderson. Yeah. And he had his hands out. And James draws a foul from far out from the basket. Pulls him out. And he goes, hey. He goes, and once again, I think it was Kyle Anderson. It may have been Forbes, but he goes, he just stood over him. He goes, what did we talk about? What did we talk about before the game? He said, you tell me what you want. Do you want me to just pull you out and just not play you the rest of the game? You want me to dog cuss you right now? Am I supposed to kiss your ass? What? You tell me what you want so I can get you to do the right thing. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it to you so that you can finally do the right thing. Did you miss when we 6 o'clock when we went through this? Were you not there or were you here? And like, I'm listening to this clear as day. And it's like
it's like dad.
It really was. I mean, it was no different than what you'd hear from like a dad.
Yeah. You can use that with your kids now. Did you see that?
What do you need me to do?
Did you see that, kids?
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm gonna use on you.
I know. Papa Dad was And the players basically run the huddle for him. Like, every once in a while, he'll do it. And when he talks, here come the little spur minions, and they come behind the bench, and they block your view so you can't really see. But when it's you've seen it before. When it's like a timeout, he stands out and talks to his coaches. And like,
that always happens.
Danny Green and Tony Parker really run everything.
Well, I have a feeling that this game was kind of like just a...
Oh, no, it's 100%. Yeah. They're just trying to get through the season.
This was... Now, when Kawhi's back... And LaMarcus, and they're playing, and it's a postseason game. Yeah. I have a feeling Danny Green ain't running the huddle.
when
they stand out there,
actually they do. Yeah, they do.
Well,
but you see, like when you listen to them, It is pretty impressive to watch, to listen to Manu talk to guys on the bench and Danny Green and Tony Parker, because they've got a unique group of players who have been through a lot and they're still there. And so when they talk to guys, like, it's different. It's different.
Well, they got, yeah,
they've got all that experience.
Yeah.
And Pop really trusts those guys, but
people gotta respect those guys.
The Rockets last night, it was just one of those games where they just cruised along. They didn't shoot well at all. Then you look up like, oh, we're up 11 already. You look up, oh, it's down to 7. Oh, it's 17.
Yeah,
it's 22.
That's Rockets.
And they weren't even shooting good.
Yeah,
they were up 22, and they weren't even shooting well. And I'm like, one of my kids goes, God, I hope the Spurs are the 7th seed or the 8th seed, so the Rockets can get them. And or I hope they're like, he goes, they're terrible. Like, let's just slow down on Spurs are terrible talk, kids.
Well,
you think this is anything like what you're going to get with the Spurs? I don't think the Spurs are, like, I really am not. I just don't think they have enough. You look at their whole roster, but you don't just actively. That's like, you're asking to be jinxed when you start saying you want the Spurs.
No, you don't
like,
want the Spurs.
It's like the Beetlejuice. You just don't want to, you know.
I was with some guy. I went to Zach Brown last night, which was awesome. Awesome.
Was JJ there? Did he tackle anyone?
No, he did mention JJ though, and he
that's
well
his guy.
Yeah, and you know, and the then the money JJ raised, and $27 million that the rodeo is raising for kids and stuff. But man, does that dude, that dude is so good. That concert was so good. Holy cow, we had a great time. But talking to people, I'm hoping Kawhi gets back and they move up, because if you want to know the truth. You know, that game late in the season is going to be a tough one, because those guys, LaMarcus and Kawhi, are going to be back. But honestly, the Rockets are a big favorite now to be the number one seed after this weekend with two losses by Golden State. The Rockets have to lose three, and they have to go undefeated. So it really, really looks like the Rockets are moving into that number one seed, because the rest of the, you look at the schedule the rest of the way. They went through their tough stretch. This is really, really unbelievable that this team was able to hold off winning 17 in a row and
you
still only having a half a game lead.
You had to win 17 in a row to
just
hold
have
them
a
off.
Half a game lead.
But you know, it's so they rested James, and I'm pretty sure you're right. I'm pretty sure they did rest James on the back to back with the back to back coming against the Spurs. And then last night, what were the final minutes he played? Because he wasn't out there. I don't know
play him
after
last
the fourth
night either
at all.
Sore knee. Don't play him.
He wasn't even out there the hardly the fourth quarter. So
yeah, I mean, why you didn't even need him? He's won the MVP. They look like against that Spurs team last night. There was no way. Even if James didn't play, even if Chris Paul didn't play, they weren't going to lose that game. This is unbelievable. This is fantastic. Now, will they hold home court advantage against Golden State? We'll see. They got to get through the first two rounds, but you're right. Do not face that. Tell your kids to stop with the one. They want the Spurs. No. No, thank you.
I'm not really afraid of the Spurs. I just don't want to run around saying I want the Spurs.
Well, I don't know. Until Mike D'Antoni beats Greg Popovich in the postseason, you know what? I don't want the Spurs.
Yeah, there's just no reason to say, oh, I want the Spurs. Like, no. Like, let's just not say that out loud.
Arrested Kawhi?
I'm not worried about. See, I'm going to go ahead and say rusty Kawhi.
I'm going to say rested. I'm going to call it rested.
Because we can't say the other, like, they're off for a week, this NFL team. They're super rusty. Like, we say that if a team gets the playoff, like, I really think that buying the playoffs made them rusty. But Kawhi's off the whole year, like,
he's rested.
How rested. Many games does Kawhi need to not be rusty? And
well,
rusted?
Just like well, if, Carlos if he, Correa last year, this past season, if, he had a couple of weeks to get ready for the postseason, and he was ready to go.
Well, he had been playing though previously.
No, he hadn't. He was out. No, he was out with his hand.
Yeah, but he had been playing like previously in the season.
Oh,
so long
yeah,
season.
But he took Kawhi, a month off.
Has over, Kawhi played at all?
He played some.
7 games?
Not a lot. So
it's been like a long
7,
ass,
8, 9 games, something like that.
3 months off?
Well, what would a NBA preseason get you? He's going to get a preseason. See, here's if the he thing, starts like, on Thursday.
With Kawhi, he's just not going to be bad. He's not going to be in basketball shape. And I do think that's going to take him a little while to get into basketball shape. Their roster's just not that good.
No.
The Spurs roster's.
But again.
But when LaMarcus is there, it's different. But they're still not a very deep roster.
Well, let's go back to game 6 last year.
Yeah, I just don't think this is the same. I don't think this is the same Rockets team. Number one, I think the Spurs will fight their way into, you know, I think that I don't think there'll be a matchup in the first round. It's not going to be a 1-8 situation. I think the Spurs are going to have trouble in the first round, whoever they face. I really do. I mean, the West is pretty even outside of 1 and 2, and I think anything can happen with 3 through 8. Not 3 through 8, I should say 3, 4, 5, 6. 1-8, 2-7, I think it should go down as anticipated, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I hope so.
Yeah, we will see. All right, 710 ESPN 97.5. I think in about 5 minutes, we're going to have Chris Beard, the head coach of Texas Tech, Mike Davis, TSU head coach, going to join us. When is Carlin Hartman? Is that tomorrow, today or tomorrow?
No, Hart is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow?
Yeah.
And so is Billy Kennedy. We're going to have Billy Kennedy on, the head coach of Texas A&M, and talk about those travails, and he is lit. He is woke. Yes, sir.
We have to say woke, not lit.
You don't know
how. Not with Billy Kennedy, we don't say lit.
You don't say remember, woke with Billy Kennedy.
I'm not sure you say woke either with Billy Kennedy.
Billy Kennedy.
Did he use it again? Dell, did he use it wrong again?
He used it incorrectly.
Dell, okay. He is going to bring the heat.
No, see, lit, if you say it about Billy Kennedy, I get what you're doing because you're being sarcastic and ironic. If you say woke, it's just, you just.
He's lit. Well, I'm not sure that he's going to be awake.
Well, lit also means
when I say woke, I'm not sure he's going to be awake because, see. Because Billy Kennedy, sometimes he's been on this show and
he brings the
not
energy.
Sure he's up yet.
He brings the energy.
He does bring the heat. Okay, so we'll see if he. I love Billy Kennedy. He is an awesome guy. And but man,
a little quiet.
We got. Oh my goodness, is he quiet? So we'll have him tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5. Maybe he should get a boost of testosterone.
Well, it's his choice if he wants to. I know that you can't just do that if you go to Men's T Clinic. They have to test you. They have to see where it sits. And if it's above the line, they say, no, I'm sorry, we won't treat you because it's a danger to your health, and we're not going to do something like that. If he is below, then like anyone else, myself included, you can say, all right, it's time to go get those numbers back to where they should be. And your testosterone numbers really do drive your quality of life, believe it or not, in many, many different ways. It can have a big impact on the belly fat, working it out, you know, just getting through workouts. So the people who know when their testosterone levels are down are usually the ones who eat right and work out because they just know something's off. They just say something just isn't right here with my workouts and with the way I feel. And that's a sure sign of lower testosterone as well. If you're not sure, if you've lost that drive, if you don't feel like you have the energy to get up and do things, you don't, you know, body-wise, it's just backtracked on you, go in and see one of the three locations. One location's in Pearland, Discovery Bay 288, Cypress 290, Barker Cypress and 290, and then 1801 Durham and I-10. Stop in. You can drop in anytime you like, or you can call and set up your appointment, but they will get you in quickly, get results quickly, and get you started on the way to getting back to being the real you at mensteeclinic.com. That's mensteeclinic.com. You can crush
it, but it's always me. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. All right, a couple of big stories. Chris Beard, Texas Tech head coach, is going to join us in a second. Case Keenum to Denver. John Elway has decided that's the guy. Spend less money on him than Kirk Cousins, and I don't know you get that much less, do you? I mean, I don't know if you're getting any less.
I think the thought is he has a lower ceiling, that he's highly dependent on people around him. I don't know if that's fair or not. I just feel like Case Keenum's always going to have a rap against him that sometimes is a little unfair, to be honest with you. People just think he's not really that good. Mm-hmm. I think that's unfair. I think people just... I don't know. I just think they're down on Case Keenum for no real reason. But he had a really good year last year.
Yeah.
He had a really good year last year. And people just really scoff it off. They really do. And you know, I don't want that. Vikings fans, they don't want Case Keenum.
No, the Vikings were never all in on him. Mike Zimmer. in mid-season when they're leading the division, they can't playing great football, can't lose. And well, we'll see.
The thought is always that this is the best he's ever going to be, whatever he is. You know, that's the absolute best it can get. It can only get worse from there. That's the prevailing notion on Case Keenum for whatever reason.
Well, he doesn't have the pedigree. You know, when you're undrafted.
He's not big. He doesn't have pedigree. Yeah. He's had unsuccessful stints. I mean, unsuccessful. He's had backup stints. He's known as a backup quarterback.
Well, he had that run here during the 2-14 season.
That run.
He didn't win.
Yeah.
And then he came, and when he was with Bill O'Brien, he won a couple of games.
But he's known as a backup, a career backup.
Yeah.
I think ultimately people see him as Hoyer, as Sage.
When you get something in your mind about a guy, it's hard to overcome that stigma. That's what it is.
He's a backup.
Yeah.
He's a backup who's starting.
But
that's
he's not.
Never going to sit well with people.
But he's not.
No.
I mean, he played well. He got to the NFC Championship game. Oh, well, then look what he did. No. That defense got their ass handed to him. Mm-hmm. He got destroyed from behind. I mean, no, I don't know any quarterback in the league could have won that day for Minnesota. You cannot blame that on Case Keenum. You just can't.
No.
That was not his fault that they lost that football game. So, I mean.
No, but it gives people.
If you hate Case Keenum and you want to make up something, okay, that's fine. But you're just making up a story to try to prove your point. If you don't like Case Keenum, you don't like it. And who knows? Case Keenum may never win anything. I don't know. Is Denver good enough? I don't know. They weren't very good last year. They didn't get any quarterback play. But I don't know if Denver's the same. Just because they got those uniforms on and they won just a couple of years ago doesn't mean they're the same football team.
Boy, we got all these deals going down.
Yeah.
All these. I thought it was supposed to start.
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to start then. I know you can have discussions in advance. I'm just surprised that all these figures are leaking this early on so many players.
Yeah, Allen Robinson heading to the Bears.
Good. That's a good move. And you know what? This is where you make moves so you don't have to panic and you're not limited in the draft. Like everyone's in the mock draft. Why did you put Bears, Calvin Ridley, to the Bears? Like, I don't think they want to draft him there.
Speaking of the Bears, what about Chris Beard? And he is joining us right now, the head coach of Texas Tech, going to be taking on, I don't know, he's got Bear in his name, B-E-A-R-D, Chris Beard,
from.
That's where that came from. He's joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. Chris, welcome in, how are you?
Good morning, guys.
So, as a head coach, going to your first, I mean, how different is it being a head coach, going to your first tournament than all the years as an assistant?
This isn't my first tournament, guys.
No. Oh, as a head coach. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize. You're absolutely right. This is not your first. Texas Tech is the big time, headed to the tournament, going to take on Stephen F. Austin against your good friend, and we had him on yesterday. Kyle Keller was here, and he told us the story that you guys didn't want to play each other in the regular season, and yet here you are. How ironic, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle and I have been friends for over 20 years. He's somebody I have a lot of respect for. Kyle's one of those guys that's always stayed the same. People kind of change when the logo on your shirt changes or when your title changes. But Kyle's in a different category. He's about as real as they come in coaching. He's somebody we have a lot of respect for, and we're going to have to play really well to have a chance to beat his team.
Yeah, I mean, they had quite the run there, and they a lot of confidence, I would imagine, when they were playing, when they're, you know, going to LSU and winning, losing it by one at Missouri. That's a team that I would imagine is awfully scary for a head coach heading into this tournament.
Well, there's no such thing as scary games in the tournament. They're just tournament games, so you're not one of the 68 unless you had a special season. You're not one of the 68 unless you're a championship-type team, so this will be no different. You know, I've always thought maybe in the 1-16 seed games, there might be some kind of advantage. But when you start getting into teams like Stephen F. Austin, they could easily be seeded a lot higher than they are. I know this from experience, being the head coach at Arkansas Little Rock, where we won championships and won an NCAA tournament game. We were on the other end of this game. So I think everybody in our program, including our players, you know, understand that once the game goes up, once that ball goes up Thursday night, these seeds and all this stuff doesn't matter. Stephen F. Austin's a team with a really good coach. They've got really good players. They've got a lot of tradition. They've made four tournaments, I think, in the last 5 years. They've won two first-round NCAA games in the last 4 years. So this is a team we're very familiar with and have nothing but our full respect.
When you approach games like this, how important do you think it's always, you know, way back to the days of Denny Crum, there's always the thought that schedule hard and it will prepare you for the postseason. Well, you're in a conference that's pretty tough. Can you talk about the preparation of having that conference schedule? And is that like swinging a loaded, you know, weighted bat when it gets you ready for the first and second round of the tournament in terms of the preparation?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that the Big 12 is the, you know, not the top conference. We've got to be one of the top conferences every single year. In my opinion, it was the best in college basketball this year because of the parity from Team 1 to Team 10. There wasn't a lot of separation. We just basically kind of beat each other up for 3 months. So it's nice to get into the postseason and play somebody that's not in the Big 12. You know, whether that prepares our teams to advance in the tournament is yet to be seen. But I do know this, ourselves included, we're all battle-tested. We played against different systems. We played against Hall of Fame coaches. We played against NBA players. We played against different styles. So hopefully the rigors of the Big 12 will pay some dividends when we get into this tournament.
Talking with Chris Beard, head coach, Texas Tech. Coach, talk about you talk about Little Rock, and you obviously went to tournaments earlier on as well. The NCAA Division II, NCCAA as well. Talk about your journey here. The first head coaching job that you had with South Carolina Warriors, and then moving on to McMurray and Angelo State. Talk about your journey and how you got here.
Yeah, I've had a lot of really good players along the way that have produced, you know, opportunities for me and the other guys on our staff. So I wouldn't trade my journey for anything. Guys come up different ways in the business. And I was a guy that always kind of had to prove people wrong and kind of came up the hard way, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I've been very, very fortunate. You know, at the top of my list of breaks, I had a chance to work for Hall of Fame coach Bob Knight and Pat for a decade at Tech and basically got a PhD every day in coaching from the best coach in the history of the game, in my opinion. And then all the stops along the way, I think the thing that comes to mind this time of year when I think about how fortunate we all are is just all the great players that I've coached in the past. And this Texas Tech team will be no different. The story is not me or our coaches. It's our players, led by our 5 seniors and our young guys we're playing this year. So each team kind of has a different identity. And certainly any kind of success that we have in this tournament, which is our objective, you know, will be related to how our players play.
It really is kind of a unique situation with you have two of your top 3 starters are freshmen, but then the guy who Evans, who is your leading scorer, is basically done the same thing for a couple of years in a row. What's the balance like? Is that an optimal balance if you're going to have young guys who you're depending on to put points on the board and play a big role? I guess you want them surrounded with guys who have been there at grinding for as long as guys like Keenan Evans have.
Yeah, we've got a really unique roster in college basketball this year. We play 5 seniors. All of them play a huge role. So we're one of the most experienced, oldest teams in the tournament. But then we turn around and we play, you know, 3 or 4 freshmen, big minutes. So we got a unique team, man. We got, you know, some guys that can get in the club on Friday night, and the other guys are in the parking lot waiting on their teammates.
Do they click together?
The age differential is pretty unique. It's been a lot of fun to coach these guys.
Do they click together, Coach? What's that like? Because that's a pretty substantial age difference from, you know, 18 to 22, a very different times in your life.
Yeah, but one of the identities of our team has been the leadership that we've gotten from our seniors. You know, these guys not only have played good basketball and led us to this point in the season, but they've also done a great job with our younger players. And, you know, I think Jarrett Culver and Zaire Smith are 2 of the best freshmen in college basketball, not just the Big 12, but all of college basketball. And then one of the reasons for their development and their success and really their ability to play at this level so quickly are our older guys. You know, Justin Gray has done a great job mentoring Zaire, and Keenan Evans and Naeem Stevenson have done a great job with Jarrett Culver. I would say the same about, you know, Tommy and Zach and our other seniors as well. So we've had great leadership on this team, which is normally a common characteristic, you know, in tournament teams. Now, I would tell you that Kyle Keller and Stephen F. Austin, I'm sure he would say the same. You know, you're not playing this time of year unless you have internal leadership in your locker room, and that was certainly the case with our team this season.
Chris Beard, Texas Tech head coach, with us on ESPN 97.5. You said you work for Bobby. You work for Bobby and you work for Pat. If there's one thing that you took away, the main thing that you took away from Bobby Knight, what was it, Coach?
Yeah, so many things, but I think at the top of that list is just the idea of preparation. I've said this before, but it's so true. It's like you know, there's 68 teams in this tournament that start this week, and there's not one team or one coach or one player, you know, that doesn't want to win their NCAA tournament game. That's a given. But what separates those guys from, you know, the good from the elite are the guys that want to prepare to win. And that was certainly something with Coach Knight. You know, I've never seen anybody more prepared for a practice or for a game or for an individual workout or even for, like, a recruiting opportunity to coach. So I hope that people would say the same about our program, that we put a lot of stock in preparation. That's one of the many things I learned, not only from Coach, but from Pat. You know, I was very fortunate to have a relationship with Pat, who works for the Phoenix Suns now, who's a basketball guy, a lifer. And, he's been a huge influence on my career as well.
Do you, Jeff Van Gundy's a friend of the show, and he, you know, he's a big Bill Parcells guy, who kind of a cross sport influence of just how to run a team, and he studies that. I know my dad is, as a lifelong coach, has always studied history. He's always loved generals and things like that. Is there anybody you study outside of basketball where you gain inspiration in terms of whether it's another coach or a GM or somebody in history? Is there something like that that kind of appeals to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of unique in that way. I actually study football players even more than I do basketball. I've always been enamored with football and the organization and how many people are involved. So I spend a lot of time. I read about everything I can get my hands on about Coach Saban, and I study his teams and his journeys each year. And a lot of the things that we do with our process at Texas Tech come from things that Coach Saban does with Alabama football. I'm actually hoping to try to get down there this spring. Avery Johnson, the basketball coach there, is a friend of mine, as well as Christy Curry, the women's basketball coach at Alabama. So I'm hoping through those connections that I'm going to get a little bit of time with Coach Saban this spring. If that happens, that'd be a highlight of my career.
Neat stuff. Chris Beard. Hey, Coach, congratulations on the success this year. Best of luck going up there to Dallas. We appreciate you being here.
Guys, thanks for having me on this morning. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Mike Davis is going to join us here on ESPN, so we got that going on as well. I apologize to Coach there. We got quite the Twitter reaction.
That's not my first time, guys.
It's
your first time in the tournament.
Well, no. This is the first time with it. I mean, a good. Little Rock actually won a basketball game.
No, so but yours cool. Is your first time. It's not.
No, not my first time.
Let me remind
it's
you.
It's not his first time. Somebody said, I thought this was one of Lance's characters.
I swear to God, I was like, I looked up there. I said, it feels like this is a bit, and it wasn't a bit. It wasn't a bit at all.
Coach was having none of that tomfoolery.
Hey, I do want
and to... And then he talked about preparation, and here I am saying it's a, you know, hey, well, a good thing you're in the tournament. Sorry, I was at Zach Brown last night, Coach.
You know what I think is really important? Preparation.
Yeah, we better call him. Yeah, 7:30.
I think preparation is really important. How about you?
How about... You guys apparently don't give a rat's ass about that.
I just laid out like... You do you, John. I don't know. Is this his first or not?
I didn't. And then he said, well, I work for Pat Knight. And everybody on Twitter, oh, now it makes sense. He worked for Bob Knight. Yep, makes sense. Yep. Now, we had Pat Knight on before. Mm-hmm. You remember that? He couldn't have been a nicer guy.
He was.
Pat Knight couldn't have been a nicer guy.
We had Pat Knight, and we also had Pat Summit was an awesome interview, and we had her on.
And we had Bob Huggins. And that was an awesome interview.
That was.
Other than John Hadley.
That was scary.
That was really scary.
He came on after a double overtime loss on the road.
I know.
Like, he got in at 3-something and called the show.
Right. Now let's talk with the TSU head coach, Mike Davis, joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. Coach, how are you?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Man, we appreciate you being here. Hey, best of luck this week here. Talk about the preparation now playing in this game. And get right away, turn around, let's play.
Well, we're excited about it. You know, our whole non-conference schedule was to get us ready for postseason play. I wanted to do something totally different than what I've done in the past. I mean, we always play road games, but I wanted to just make our schedule just extra difficult so we can have a chance to really get better and be able to face any situation.
Mike Davis here on ESPN 97.5 in Dayton for their game. And, Coach, what a run. How about this run that you guys went on to get there? Talk about where this team is right now.
Well, we hadn't had our whole team the whole season in conference play. We knew the non-conference schedule would be difficult, but we thought that we could go 16-2, 17-1 in conference play. and we had some suspensions and some injuries. And so up until the last seven games, we had our four team in conference play, and we played it really well. We averaged 91 points a game over the last seven games. And so we feel like, you know, this is the team that we expected to have throughout the full conference season, and our guys are playing with a lot of confidence right now.
Dante Clark is kind of a volume shooter for you. He's someone that you're going to have a big game. And then, of course, we're not even going to talk about what happens if you win, because your whole focus is on what you have, your job that you have tomorrow. How do you approach the pacing of a game like that when you know right around the corner is another one coming? Does it matter how you pace that game at all?
Well, no. If you go back and look at our non-conference schedule again, we designed it this way to be ready and prepared for anything. You know, we go from Kansas and we go to Syracuse. We got Clemson and we got Gonzaga. We got all those teams, and so we fly all over the country playing, and we're playing in difficult situations. And if you look at the minutes played for our guys, I got three or four guys playing 38, 39 minutes a game over the course of the season. So you know, we're ready for anything, and that's why, you know, being in the SWAC and being in a one-bit league, you know, you have to try to plan things for postseason play to be ready for anything.
Mike Davis, head coach, Texas Southern, with us on ESPN 97.5. What do we know about North Carolina Central?
Very good team. Copy of us. They've been successful in their conference. Like, we've been successful over the last three or four or five years. Coach Moten and I are really good friends. Matter of fact, we talked the night before. I congratulated him on winning his conference tournament. He congratulated me. And we were just discussing who we may play, and we playing each other. So I'm quite sure he's excited. I met him for the first time at the Final Four in Houston, and he said I was his mentor, and we talk a lot of basketball, and hopefully it can be a great game.
You know, it really is interesting, Coach, when you think about it, because you do have I guess some people will try to load up a schedule with as many wins as they can find. And that's one way to approach it. But you're in a unique situation, because it's really not – it really gets down to, we got to win our conference. What's the best way to win our conference? You don't worry what the final record is. You worry about how you're playing at the end and if you're winning the last few games of the season, because that means you're going to the dance. And I guess in that regard, you know, you've been at other universities, certainly, where that's – where it's about the RPI and how many W's you can get to. But I guess this is unique for you, isn't it, that – it is truly a battle of preparation and battle testing yourself to be ready.
Exactly. Well, everywhere I've been, I've played a very difficult schedule. Even at Indiana, you know, my schedule was top five a lot. But John Lucas and I talked my first year here, and I was really struggling with losing some games in non-conference. I didn't make that schedule. The schedule's already made when I got here. And the one thing Coach Lucas told me was, only one thing matters, and that's winning your conference games. Doesn't matter if you go to UCLA, Kansas, Kentucky. It doesn't matter if Louisiana Tech beats you. It doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is winning in your conference tournament or winning your conference regular season. And I thought about that, and I said, it's true. You know, so I figured from a mathematical standpoint, if you play 13 non-conference games and you play 18 conference games, if you lose all 13 or you go 12-1, whatever it may be, if you only lose two conference games, you're going to be above 500. And we've averaged 19 wins a game a year before this year. And we struggled in conference, and I think that's what threw people off. But we only struggled because of injuries, and we struggled because I suspended three or four of my guys throughout the conference season. And we were very disappointed for not going 16-2. But at the same time, I had to send a message to our team, because we need to be the best basketball team that we can be in March. March 7th, when our conference tournament started, and we were. You know, we won every game, all three games, by more than 14 points a game in our conference tournament.
Mike Davis here with us, head coach, TSU. Play tomorrow night, North Carolina Central, a game that the winner will take on Xavier in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Now, a lot of good basketball played at TSU this year, Coach, between you guys and U of H. How much, with all that going on there, did you run into Kelvin a lot? Did you guys get any time to spend together this year?
Well, you know, my son signed a basketball scholarship to play that next year. And so Coach Sampson and I go way back to when we played them in the Final Four when I was at Indiana. He's at Oklahoma. And so they practiced in our gym a lot. You know, I told Coach he has all access to our gym anytime he wants to come over and practice. And don't worry about us. We will go to your spot and practice at your spot. And I got a chance to sit in on some of his practices and watch him practice because I have a strong interest there because of my son playing there next year. And he's a great, great basketball coach. I think, in my opinion, he's one of the top five college basketball coaches out there just from watching his practices, the way the organization is, the toughness that he's given his team. I mean, people don't realize, you know, how tough they are, how hard they play, and how well coached they are. You know, and it's amazing. And he's really helped me a lot from a basketball standpoint this year because you always want to steal, you know, from great coaches if you're a coach. And so I had the opportunity to watch him practice a lot in our gym and walk through their practices. And it's no surprise of the success they're having just because of the way they prepared for this season.
I don't know that there is a better way to tell a coach how much you admire him or respect him than sending your son to go play for him.
Exactly, exactly. My son, you know, he's one of the better shooters in the country. He shoots 3,000-4,000 shots a day, and he has a special, special way of playing. And I trust Coach Sampson because Coach Sampson understands his game, the way he plays, and I think he'll be very successful there once he gets to Houston.
He's going to have to defend. We know that. You better get your closeouts.
Well, that's the great part of it. You want to put your son with someone that's going to coach him and won't be afraid to coach him and going to push him and get everything out of him. I feel like you can get everything out of the guys you have now, and then my son can be in the same situation.
Was there any part of you that wanted him to play for you?
I did. I really did. But funny story, we go over, and my son had a really good summer, played for Houston Hoops this summer. And everybody was calling me because of the way he shoots the basketball. We shot 60,000 shots in a two-week period last summer. And so he can really shoot the basketball. And we go over and sit down with Coach. And I told my son, I said, we go in here now, just be real patient. You know, Coach going to put a good show on for you. And he's really good. He's really convincing. You know, just let me handle everything. So we go in there. We talk for 2.5 hours. And Coach showed the film. He and his son showed my son film. And they talked about the kids that played there and guy that played the dots and that played the way they shoot the basketball. And talked about his NBA experience. So we get ready to get up and go. I'm like, okay, we got through the 2.5 hours. My son didn't do anything. And we get a chance to talk to some more school. And we got up, and Coach said something to him. He said, Coach, I'm ready to commit right now. And so he committed on the spot, first situation. But I was happy because I think, and when you think about this, Houston is a great city, great city. In and everything is there in Houston. And I'm surprised that more, you know, local guys don't go to Houston and play for the University of Houston because Houston is a great opportunity, a great city. And it's a city that when you do something special, everybody in the city ride and be really, really proud of you for doing some great things in Houston.
That's Mike Davis, head coach TSU, right here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, we know your time is valuable. We appreciate it. Get ready for that game. Go get North Carolina Central.
Thank you very much.
There he is, Mike Davis, right here on ESPN 97.5. All right, we're way behind. We missed last break. We had two coaches back-to-back. Nice stuff, though, right here. Hope you enjoyed it. We got more stuff ahead. Nate Griffin is going to join us. We'll be on Channel 26 in just a little bit, top of the hour, right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, let's bring John Clay Wolf in. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. And last time he was here, he told us, this is the best time to sell your car. If you would have sold it last week or the week before, you probably sold it for about 10% less than you could sell it for right now, right, John?
Yeah, it's real. It has gone up. The market's highs. It's peaking, and it happens every year. And it happens for a week or two or three or four, and it's happening right now. So go to GiveMeTheVin.com. We bought 50 off the website yesterday off of 200 inquiries. So that just shows you 25% conversion rate is pretty high. because we're paying a lot.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Find out. Not only find out, but get the most you can for your trade. Why would you take less from a dealer than you could get from John Clay Wolf, right?
I agree. You wouldn't believe where I am. I'm Clark W. Griswold, man. Loaded all the kids up in the RV. We're in the Ozarks at a campground. Everybody's freezing their ass off and mad. Wants to go home. And I mean, it's really like the movie. I screwed up yesterday and ran the RV off the road and had to get towed out.
You are Clark Griswold, except Clark Griswold went to somewhere warm. Why would you take the kids to the Ozarks? Especially after you – have you watched the series Ozark?
I have watched the series Ozark.
Don't take them to a motel there, okay?
We're in a place a lot like that Marines bought. And I've got 300 cars going through the auction in the morning in Dallas, so I've got to get back. So I was just trying to figure out a place where we could go do a 4-day run, and I can get back in time for what I had been in the morning. But yeah, it's been an event. It has been an event. I see why people in their 40s consume a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, you know, I heard the show the other day, and you were talking about. I just bought an RV. Said, you know what? Let's take it. Let's go. Let's put some more miles on it. Let's go. That's neat stuff.
We buy RVs at GiveMeTheVIN.com. I bought it off of a customer. I bought it off a radio show listener. So
how about that? GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. No matter what your vehicle is, John Clay Wolf will buy it at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, Raheel joins us in just a little over an hour. Nate Griffin's going to join us. We're going to be on Channel 26 here in just a little bit, too. So we got that going on.
In the meantime, I want to get through some of the stuff that's going on in the NFL. It's supposed to be free agency is tomorrow, but it doesn't matter because everything's already jumping off. I'm going to try to keep up with everything, let's see, that we've got here. Let me start off with, Dell, do you have contract terms on Allen Robinson? The Bears need to say, I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing when we read some of these, how often it lines up with team needs. Like, teams are basically saying, all these mock drafts, a lot of them are about to change drastically because teams, that's why I hate, you know, I'm in charge of doing team needs for every team, which invariably I catch heat from
everybody,
a lot of fan bases. Yeah. You don't know, why would you have that there?
You ought to have a pretty good read on the Texans, I would think.
No, I feel like I do know the Texans.
Do they
Somebody
come at
from
you?
The Eagles told me, we need a running back. And I put running back in the mock, and Eagle fans, you don't know anything. And I just want to say, you dumbasses, I got that from your own people. What are y'all talking about?
Maybe
look here, Blount will be back, and they love Smallwood. Do they? Is he? I don't think you know that, sir. But I can't say that. I just have to go. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and there's a reason J.J. got released by the Dolphins.
Thank you for reading my mock. So you'll notice a lot of these line up with team needs, so that you don't have to draft based on need. You can draft on best available. Allen Robinson, Dell, Chicago needs wide receiver. He missed all this year because the Texans. Basically knocked him out of the game with some very tough, hard-hitting football.
Yeah. Or Blake Bortles overthrew a pass when he was wide open, and he stretched and hurt his knee, but whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. That's the other narrative that's out there, yeah.
The numbers for Allen Robinson?
Yep.
3 years, $42 million from the Bears with 25 guaranteed.
That's pretty good.
He's a top receiver, though.
He's a true wide receiver one.
Yeah.
Coming off of an ACL, so, yeah. You know. Sammy Watkins, 3 years, $48 million, 30 guaranteed. And that is going to go to the Kansas City Chiefs, who are in desperate need of a wide receiver. That's going to be a big help there. Drew Brees is getting close to doing a two-year deal.
While I like Sammy Watkins,
I'm not a huge Sammy Watkins fan.
I liked him with the Rams, But I liked him in large part because there were so many other guys.
And Cooper Kupp took some heat off of him, and Gurley took heat off. And he did have a year that was really, really good in Buffalo. He didn't always have great quarterbacking there. To me, this is a highly speculative contract. I'm kind of with you on that one. A $30 million guarantee for Sammy feels a little speculative. Well, but I guess they're basically saying...
If you want to know the truth, I think Robert Woods is going to be a better long-term.
He could be. And he's going to be less expensive probably. But you got Pat Mahomes rolling in there. You want to get a veteran receiver. Yeah. So I understand that. Drew Brees, two-year deal, is going to check in between $20 and $25 million annually. That should get done. Case Keenum going to the...
We have a listener who I'm going to go with him. $28 million. It's what he's saying. So
annually,
yeah,
going with him over Rappaport.
Well, I don't know if you think that Rappaport knows more about the Saints than Tiny does. Okay,
no, I mean I got to go with a guy named Tiny.
Right.
Case Keenum is going to go to Denver, where he has some great targets. Andrew Norwell is going to be in the division. He's the guard, the top guard top guard free agent. But for the Houston, Cordy Glenn is traded to Cincinnati. They had that need.
Well, how about stay on the field?
Yeah. Here's the two big ones for Houston. Houston supposedly is way out in front with Nate Solder. So that's something you and I talked about a long time ago. That's that Band-Aid option where, you know, you plug him in for a couple of years, you're good so you don't have to reach. First of all, you don't have a first or second rounder this year. But now you can maneuver around in a draft and you don't have to say, let's just reach on a tackle. You really don't. That's a big sign.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was 2 year, $48 million, 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport was
accurate while Tiny does confirm it.
You need two sources. And then Zach Fulton, Houston Texan. You know what's going to be interesting about this is Fulton is the Texans appear to be in the need. They're pitching a multi-year deal worth more than $7 million a year, according to, once again, Ian Rappaport. But here's a deal that makes this really interesting. If the Texans get their hands on Zach Fulton, the talk is, now I just assumed he would play guard because he's played guard and center. Apparently they're getting him to play center, which means Nick Martin's three of the last, whatever, 4 or 5 years in football dating back to Notre Dame, he's been season ending injuries. I think they're just maybe done with that. And they're going to say, Nick, you either play guard or we'll just go in a different direction, which would be interesting because that leads you to believe that maybe he wasn't the pick of.
Well, it also leads me to believe that
Bill O'Brien?
Maybe you don't need, well, or he's like sick of him sitting there.
Now, he played guard in college too, yeah. Although the thought was he's better at center than guard.
Well, but he's going to be better at guard than Xavier Suafilo would be.
Yeah, but if you can't get on the field, it doesn't matter.
No.
You don't make the club from the tub.
No. Coaches just can't stand that. Just there's one thing. If I can't count on you, then I can't have you. Because I don't care where you were drafted. I don't care. If you can't stay on the field, then you're not any good to me. And so far, Nick Martin has not been
able to. He's listed as a guard for the Texans, by the way.
Right now?
Yeah, so career stats. So with the Texans, he's played there. Nah, this isn't right. They've got him playing 14 years last year. That wasn't right.
14 games last year?
14 games, rather. Did he play 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he did. Yeah, it was the year before. Yeah, I guess he did. He only missed, only two games.
Yeah, no, he was there.
He's got a...
he was there and then he
didn't. That's right, and he didn't play 16.
Yeah.
At all. That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
So, because I'm all the way back into the college stuff where he finished 15, hurt... He missed all of 14. I don't know. He's just, let me put it this way. For the last 5 years, Nick Martin's missed a lot of football. Lot of football.
And the Texans are addressing the major need. Pro Football Focus has rated every offensive line. Where do you think the Texans ended up?
Seventh.
No.
Worse?
Lower.
10th?
Lower.
30th?
Lower.
31st?
Lower.
Last?
Last.
Well, that's hateful.
No, it's true. I don't think it's
did inaccurate. You see them score 30 points a game when Deshaun was quarterback? Yeah. That wasn't on accident, John.
And they have best player, Nick Martin. That's unfortunate. Well, when Bracco Giacomini And I mean, Bruno Giacomini. And
did you call him Barocco Giacomini? Barocco. It's like, when did the ex president Barocco become an offensive lineman?
Well, he's the Italian version of the Barocco. He's Bruno Giacomini and Jeff Allen and Kendall Lamb and and Xavier Suafilo and Nick Martin by default
was the best player.
Just by being able to stand up, he was their best offensive lineman.
And the Texans like, we got to get rid of Nick Martin.
Yeah. He's the best. Said he's the best.
All right.
No, he's got to be moving a guard, right?
Yeah.
If Fulton's going to play center, then they're moving him to guard.
Yes, you would think. All right, why don't you let's catch up.
Just getting some of these Coach Beard.
Beard, do you see it?
Some of these tweets.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty good. It's I think Tech Coach hates John now. Lance, come on. What your guy did to my guy there is a Texas Tech guy. And he says something else. Ugly, I can't say.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm hoping for a Texas Tech loss for sure. Coach Beard. Like, Coach Beard didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Dustin, don't hate on Coach Beard.
No, he was just short. There was a couple hashtag D's on there, but he was right. I mean, I made a mistake. I'll own up to it. I made a mistake. That's not a big deal. Why don't you talk about saving people money?
Well, so Bill Advisor does something that really no one else in the market is doing, and that is renegotiating your bills. And if you are used to having, here's the problem is when you're used to having your bill, what it is, and you just say, well, I'm not adding any services. I don't need their service. All I do is every year I just pay my bill. It's the same thing over and over. Well, see, that's the trap. The longer you're with the company, the more they will incrementally raise your bill. And before you know it, you're losing hundreds of dollars on a single bill every single year. Bill Advisor can come in and get you new customer rates. Even if you've been with a service for 10, 12 years, they can get new customer rates, because why shouldn't you get to take advantage of those awesome rates when you've been a loyal customer the entire time? Go to BillAdvisor.com and find out the services. Home insurance, auto insurance. I made the switch last week, saved right at $700 just by switching that. Electric, home security, internet, satellite, cable, all those can be renegotiated, and they will do that for you at Bill Advisor. As a matter of fact, if you want them to get started for you today, and they can get finished today too, it's quick, go to BillAdvisor.com or text BILLS to 313131 and let them get started on lowering your bills on average between $800 and $900 for the year per person for one low monthly fee. It's BillAdvisor.com.
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.